Let's see, is entitled Impact of Application Timing of Fungicides on the Management of Target Spot. What we've tried to do is move from the overall disease and what the pathogen is, move to what's the physiological effect of the symptoms we're seeing, especially in your area of the woods in southwest Georgia. And now with the next two speakers, we'll talk about what are the benefits, how can we manage it, and what are the benefits from management if there are. So, Jared?
Right. Thank you, Dr. Kim Wright, for asking me to come speak on such an important topic. Like he said, I'm looking more in this presentation about what impacts different application timings have on management of this disease. First off, I'd like to thank my co-authors, most of which are in here today. Everyone helped out tremendously on being able to get these studies put in. So first off, in cotton production, leaf spots and foliar diseases are not a new problem. Historically, depending on weather conditions, we can see outbreaks of Cercospora, Ascochyta blight, areolic mildew, and angular leaf spot in any given season. These foliar diseases typically are not very economically important and don't have a drastic decrease on yield, certainly not requiring much management. The exception to this is Stemphelium leaf spot, which is known to cause significant yield losses. And because this disease is tied more to a potassium deficiency, it can be more easily managed by providing proper plant nutrition and proper nutrients into the plant. And there's less evidence of being able to control this disease with fungicides. So now, around 2005, growers and consultants and county agents began to ask questions and become concerned with a new disease that they thought was attacking the cotton that was unrelated to potassium. Some of the symptoms they described with this was premature defoliation, severe spotting on the leaves, bolls, and bracts, and significant yield losses. At first, this disease was dismissed as Stemphelium, and it was thought to be related to potassium, but growers kept insisting that it was not. So in 2008, Dr. Kim Wright was able to distinguish this disease as something other than Stemphelium, and at the time was believed to be caused by Cornaspora. So in the last year, reports of problems from Cornaspora has been reported in other states other than Georgia, Florida, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, and even up into Virginia. In about 2008, this disease was thought to be caused by Cornaspora, but until 2011, it was not confirmed. And a fellow graduate student of mine, Abraham Fulmer, sitting on the second row over there, helped me. He kind of took the reins on this in proving that what we were dealing with was actually target spot. So we took two different varieties, Delta Pine 555 and 1048, and potted 10 plants from each variety in the greenhouse. We inoculated 5 plants from each variety with the pathogen and left the other 5 sprayed with just sterile water. So when we looked at the results, 100% of the inoculated plants showed symptoms, as you can see in the picture in the bottom left, and the bottom right picture was the plant sprayed with water. So after this, it was confirmed by morphological characteristics and PCR to be target spot. So now that we know what we're dealing with, finding answers to the management of this disease is critical. Since 2008, we've been putting in field trials across the state to try to get a better feel for what impact this disease has on cotton production and possible management strategies. But in 2012, when I started working with this disease more, some questions that I had or that were asked was what effect does irrigation or the crop environment do or have on disease intensity? And also, we wanted to quantify the effects that target spot had on yield. And also, what is the best application timing for disease management? So asking those questions, we put in several small plot trials across southwest Georgia. And the trials I'll be talking about were put in Tifton, Camilla, and Attapulgus. And on a side note, the trials in Camilla, we intentionally left alleyways in the field and didn't cut them out until around defoliation. This was to try to simulate a real-world situation in a grower's field and also try and decrease airflow throughout the canopy, hoping to increase disease development. So the variety used was Phytogen 499 in all of my trials, and we looked at three fungicides, Headline, Twinline, and Preaxor. All the applications were put out with a leaf spider, 8002 tips at 20 gallons per acre. Yield ratings were taken at the end of the season, and also throughout the season, severity ratings on a 1-6 scale were taken, 1 being very few spots on the lower canopy, 6 being many spots on the upper canopy. And also defoliation ratings were took as well. So to try to answer the first two questions, we look at the test we had at Stripling Irrigation Park in Camilla. These two trials were not set up to really be compared statistically, and at the time we put them in, I didn't realize I was going to be using this slide or using this information in this way. But if you look overall, without paying a lot of attention to the treatments at the bottom, looking overall, you can tell that it's clear that the overhead irrigated trial had much more defoliation than the dryland trial. And this was the late season defoliation rating taken at the end of September. And also when looking at the yield from the same two trials, keep in mind it was a wet growing season in Georgia. We may not expect to see this every year, but actually in this situation, the dry land out-yielded the irrigated plots. The main point I want to bring out is the effect that disease intensity has on yield. So you looked at the foliation from the overhead irrigated trial being so high, and it corresponds pretty well with the low yields from the overhead trial. Now, moving on to trials answering the question about application timing. First, I want to take a little while to explain how the slides are laid out. I know there's a lot of treatments, but if you look at the bottom of the slide, the planting dates there, the date of the first week of bloom, and the date the disease was confirmed in the field. Also below that, we have the last spray before the rating took place. So if you see the rating date was on August the 1st, the last application was on the 24th of July, being the third week of bloom. The first column is twin line FS. That just means it was put out one application at first square. Second column, first square plus 14 days. The third column was sprayed every 14 days starting at first square. Okay, the following columns with the numbers in parentheses, the number represents the week of bloom that the application went out. So 1 being the first week of bloom, 3 being the third week of bloom, and 5th being the fifth week of bloom, and so on. And I know this is a lot to grasp right now, but if you look at the left-hand side of the chart, those are the early applications, and then as you move on to the right, you start getting applications later in the season. The untreated column will always be in yellow, and the red columns represent treatments that are statistically different or statistically lower than the untreated check. Okay, so if you look at the severity ratings on August the 1st, you can see that the third week of bloom application has been put out already. So every treatment that contains that third week application timing is significantly lower than the untreated check when it comes to severity. Also, the twin line sprayed every 14 days and the twin line sprayed at the first week of bloom also shows differences. And keep in mind, these later applications have not been applied yet. On the same day, we took defoliation ratings. All the early treatments, especially all the ones that have been put out so far, with the exception of twin line at third week of bloom, shows significant decreases in defoliation. Moving on to the second rating, the column in gray is the previous rating, just to be able to kind of compare the two. But about 2 weeks later, on the 16th of August, you can see that the treatment sprayed every 14 days still has a significant decrease in defoliation, as well as the same 4 treatments sprayed during that third week of bloom showed decreases. The best two being 2 applications of both twin line and headline at first and third week of bloom. final defoliation rating at this trial was on September the 10th. All of our applications have been put out at this time, and those four treatments are still significantly lower than the untreated check. And also now, by this time, we've had so much defoliation in this field, you can see the levels have gotten up to around 60% at times. And we've had so much defoliation, the plant's starting to regrow new leaves, and those late applications help protect that regrowth from becoming infected. Now, looking at yield, we have no statistical differences within treatments, but one point I will point out is the headline at first week of bloom and third week of bloom shows a numeric yield increase of close to 200 pounds. Now, 200 pounds is not significant in this trial, but it is a number that we've seen in the past, and it's a number that we'll continue to see throughout this presentation. Now, moving on to Attapulgus, this site is in the southwest corner of Georgia. And a couple points I want to point out here is the disease came in real late at this trial. It was around the fourth week of bloom. And whereas the disease in the previous trial came in, you know, before first bloom. So this disease came in real late, and also the overall defoliation is fairly low at this site. This could be due to the disease coming in late, and also up at the top of the screen you can see that target spot and stemphelium was present in this field. So the stemphelium made it somewhat harder to rate, and it also kept that canopy, you know, closed in more and didn't allow for much growth. Looking at defoliation, we'll stay here. Looking at this defoliation on August the 29th, you can see there's no differences really due to just the lack of overall defoliation. We'll move on to the second rating about 2 weeks later. Still see no significance, but if you look, those first treatments aren't doing very much at all, but the middle treatments are somewhat lower numerically than the rest. And again, with the last defoliation rating, no significant differences, but you know the trends stay about the same with those middle treatments. Looking at yield, no statistical differences in yield, but when looking at overall yield, you'll see that 11 out of 13 of those treated with a fungicide out-yielded the untreated check numerically. And to point out again, that same treatment headline, first bloom and third week of bloom, shows about a 200-pound numeric increase in yield. And that was the same as what we saw in the last trial. So we'll move on to my last small plot trial in Tiff County. We see that the target spot came in even later in this trial than it did in the last one on September the 5th. And that was after all applications had been put out. And so knowing that, you can see that the last treatment put out at seventh week of bloom is significantly lower, and the twin line put out every 2 weeks is also lower. When looking at defoliation, those same two treatments are significantly lower, and now twin line at 1 and 3, twin line at 3, and twin line at 5 are also lower. Looking at yield, again, no significant differences, but like our Attapulgus trial, we see 8 out of 11 of our treated plots out-yielding the untreated check, with our best treatment being twin line at 14 days, sprayed every 14 days, and again, headline 1 and 3, with about 150 to 200-pound increase in lint. So, recapping the small trials in Georgia, the third week of bloom application timing at Strickland best reduced defoliation. The late application protected the new growth but did not help yields. In Attapulgus, stemphelium was a major factor in both rating and disease development. There was not a whole lot of defoliation, but 11 of 13 treatments numerically out-yielded the untreated check. Also in Tifton, the late timing had the best disease control, and 8 of 11 treatments out-yielded the untreated check. common factor in all three of these trials is that number 200. Our best treatments in all trials were around 200-pound numeric increase. And having said that, even though we didn't get any statistical differences in our 200 pounds versus our untreated check, but we'll see in other trials throughout the state and in other states, we'll see people get that same number and see significance. So this is a trial put in by R.J. Byrne, a former county agent in Georgia, now working for Meharen. This was a trial using 9 different varieties that was put out in a grower's field in Mitchell County. And one application of Headline was put out at the 6th week of bloom. I'm not sure on the exact date the disease was confirmed, but we do know that it was present prior to the application. So this was put out as somewhat of a rescue treatment in this field. So the blue bars represent the treated plots and the red bars the untreated plots. So when you look at the yield, you'll see that 6 out of the 9 varieties responded with a positive yield increase. And the 3 in the middle responded with a significant increase in yield. The variety in the middle was 200 pounds. The other 2 varieties was 150 to 175 pounds, and they showed significant differences. Also, up in Virginia, Dr. Pat Phipps put in this trial with various application timings after bloom. And the disease came in on August the 27th, which was around the 6th week of bloom, which was almost right there during the last application. But you can see that 6 out of 7 of the trials had a decrease in defoliation significantly on September the 12th. And a month later, again, 6 out of 7 treatments had a significant decrease in defoliation. Looking at his yield, all 7 treatments numerically had a higher yield than the untreated check, and the last treatment, Preaxor, at 4th week of bloom and Headline at 6th week of bloom, showed a significant increase of 200 pounds. So now that I ask the question, what is 200 pounds? We see in our trials that it's not significant. Others see in their trials that it is significant. But with all these results and combining all the data, you can see that it suggests that 200-pound increase in lint is a realistic goal when using fungicides. Okay, growers in high-risk situations with high-risk fields, they can expect to see results when using fungicides put out at proper time. UGA Extension will be recommending judicious use of fungicides in cotton in 2013 in certain situations. So what's next for us in 2013? Basically, I'll continue to look at fungicide timings, try to find that best timing, and try to keep getting more data like we got last year. We may modify some of the timings somewhat, but we're also considering putting in some greenhouse trials to determine sources of initial inoculum. Dr. Vlad mentioned the wide host range of Cornesperus, so hopefully we're making... Can put in some greenhouse trials to see what impact the different plants have, or the disease on different plants have to cotton. So with that, I'd like to thank all the staff at the research stations and Dr. Kimwright's crew for their help in putting in these trials and getting this data. So any questions? I don't know how much time we have.
Time for 2 questions.
Yes. I don't know. Is RJ in here? I don't think.
Sorry. What do you think, RJ? Did any of your trial, would you consider any had resistance to or less impact? They all got it. They all had defoliation.
They all got it. They all showed increase in defoliation. Yeah, the Cornesperum moved in the canopy. So, you know, I think that's still unknown.
I would say the biggest interest in me there was the 499, which is always pointed at in our area, but it was not the one that showed the greatest response from fungicide. So it's easy to say, I guess the important thing there is, just because you plant a variety other than 499 doesn't mean you don't need to worry about target spot. If you do plant 499, you can expect high yields, but you may want to consider a fungicide program with it as well.
Any other questions?
All right.
Thanks.